Matthew 27, please. Matthew 27. It's something very just short for you, but something to think about. What a great day. Amen. Isn't it good? Isn't it good to be in the house of God? Just singing. I know we have no music. I'm glad you decided to come join us. Amen. I don't know where you were, but amen. I'm glad you came. Girls, you left the house without telling them? Smack him one if he's sleeping. Whack him. If somebody's sleeping in your house, you're going to church, either whack him or throw cold water on him. It's allowed. God said. God said, out of springs of living water, amen, will wake you up. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong a dad can do. I don't think dads can do anything. Can hit you enough, smack you enough, yell enough, throw cold water on you. That's a dad. You get that, you just have a pass. You're allowed to be a dad. Amen. Chapter 27. Are you there? Well, I have to just give you a heads up. I just hate putting it right on you. From there, we're going to Mark 15 and John 18. So anyway, just give you Matthew 27. Look at me, if you would, in verse 15. Amen. Mary, I thought you were already here. Where'd you come? No, I'm kidding. Matthew 27, verse 15. Verse 15. Y'all there? It says, now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner named Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they delivered him, meaning Jesus. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have nothing to do with that just man. For I've suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. That's a horrible word, isn't it? Destroy him. They just want him gone, done. That's kind of like this world today. They don't, you know, somebody, I forget who it was, might have been someone here, sent me a text or something and was saying about how, I think it was Charles, I'm not sure. But it was saying something how every religion and everything out there is allowed to have a voice except Christians. They shut Christians up and they shut them down. They're not even allowed to speak. They're not allowed to speak in universities. They're not allowed to speak in schools. They're not allowed to speak anywhere. And they shut, and that's minds, they just want to destroy. They do not want the voice of God spoken. And, you know, it's a real thing. But I want you to notice before we move on, and we will, is that Pilate's wife, I mean, he's on the judgment seat. There's hundreds and hundreds of people. It's a great tumult. And Jesus is beaten, and he's already been beat up by the Jews. And now he's brought in handcuffs, so to speak, and he's in front of Pilate. And the people are saying, kill him and get rid of him. And he goes and he speaks to Jesus and he sees that there's like nothing wrong with this man. He can't find anything wrong with him. And even Judas, you know, Judas at this time, he's already went out and killed himself because he says that after he gave delivered him to his enemies, Judas said this. He said, I have betrayed innocent blood. Even Judas knew that, you know, he's innocent. And then Pontius Pilate is talking to him and he's like, I find no fault in this man. There's nothing wrong with this guy. Why would you want to kill him? And they'd want him destroyed. They just don't want him shut up. They don't want him gone. They want him dead and gone, Anton. But here it's funny that this woman, Pontius Pilate, this Roman governor, his wife, God gave a dream to. His wife, when you think about, why her? You know what I mean? And God gave her dreams, and she came to her husband, have nothing to do with this just man. Even the wife says she's a just man. And she said, I have suffered many things of him in dreams. That means she was having nightmares about him. Don't, you know, and she went and told her husband, don't do anything with this guy. He's a just man. I thought that very odd. Why her? Why would God give her the dream? I'm sure there's a lot there, and I'll find out when I get to heaven. I'll ask, hey, Jesus, could you tell me about this? And he'll give me all the stories I need to know, amen? But right now, I don't know why she had a dream, but she did. And she even told her husband, so you know Pontius Pilate doesn't want anything to do with Jesus. He doesn't want to kill him at all. He knows there's nothing wrong with him. But so we'll pick it up right back here. And look what it says in verse 21. It says, and the governor answered and said unto them, whether of the two will you that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Now, could you imagine what Pilate's thinking? He's like, I don't get it. This guy did nothing wrong. This other guy's a creep. We're going to see that to me. He's a murderer. Look what it says. It says in verse 23, and the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he couldn't prevail, that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and he washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. And then it says, an amazing verse. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Release, and he released Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now I just want you to, let's find out a little bit more about Barabbas, amen, because this is the one that they wanted. And I want you to look over Mark 15 with me, please. In Mark 15, it says this about Barabbas, verse 7. Mark 15, verse 7, it says, and there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, and who had committed murder in the insurrection. He was a murderer. Think about that. He was not just a bad guy. He was a murderer. Look in John 18 with me, please. John 18. And in John 18, look in verse 40. It says this. Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Here he is, a thief and a murderer. And I thought about this as I thought of those, a thief and a murderer. Look over with me in John 8, John chapter 8, since we're in John, it shouldn't be far back. And it's funny, he's a thief and a murderer. And look what it says in John 8, 44. You should be familiar with this verse. It's a very well-known verse. Are you all there? John 8, 44. It says, Jesus is saying, you are of your father the devil. And the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaks it of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. It tells us that you are of your father the devil. Do you know what Barabbas means? The name Barabbas means son of your father. His name Barabbas means son of his father. And Jesus here said, you are of your father, the devil. Here, Barabbas was not a good person. Barabbas was not a nice person. Barabbas was a murderer. He was a murderer and a thief. You can't get any worse. The two of the worst commandments, if you ask me, is murder and stealing. Because when you steal, it's not just taking someone from somebody. It's many, many other things. We won't get into that. Look in John chapter 10 with me. Look over a chapter. Look in John 10, and look in verse 10, John 10, 10. Jesus said, the thief, and we know Barabbas was one, comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. And they asked him, who do you want, Barabbas or Jesus? They had a choice, and they chose Barabbas. I think about this. He said, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I'm come that you might have life. And people, Jesus even said in the same chapter, he said, I am the life, and you won't come to me that you might have life. Why is it that people won't come to Jesus? I don't understand it. Why is it that people won't trust him? I don't understand it. What does he ask people to do? He asks really nothing of anybody except to just trust, believe in him. And we have every evidence in the world to believe in Jesus. I mean, think about it. His enemies said he's a just man. Judas, he's innocent. Pontius Pilate, he's a just man. His wife, he's a just person. Even the Roman soldier that pushed a spear into his heart said, truly, this was the Son of God. I mean, when you think about it, not everyone, all his enemies all said he was good. There's not one person they could find that even could even think of one, even one thing against Jesus. If you look in chapter 26, it says that when they took him, they looked for witnesses against him that they could find something, and it says they found none. He said, oh, a lot of people came forward, but they couldn't find anybody that agreed with them. And finally, one person said, well, he said that he would tear the temple down and build it in 3 days. They couldn't find one thing against him, not one. And I look at today in this world, and I'm trying to tell people, you're trying to tell people about Jesus, and they don't want to trust him. They don't want to, they'd rather have a politician who's a murderer and a thief than they would Jesus Christ, who's good and kind. You tell me how that makes any sense. How does it make any sense that we, his people, sometimes would rather have the things of the world than have the things of Jesus? And when a preacher talks about it or somebody mentions how we're supposed to be, they think, oh, that's just too legalistic, or that's too this, or that's too that, trying to be like what Jesus wants us to be. I don't get it. We know that all things work together for good. We know that he's good and he's for our good. We know that he's kind beyond all measure. We know that he's merciful and he's good. Why would we not trust him with all of our heart, right? Just put all of our faith and trust in him. I never met a man, woman, or child that trusted Jesus with all their heart and ever regretted it. I've learned in 30 years of being saved, 31 years, I actually don't even know, from 91 to 93 to 23, is that 31 or 32 years? It's going to be 32 years, April 1st. I'm 32 years old. I'm getting there, Jesus time, amen? And anyway, so 32 years ago when I got saved, I didn't know, I knew his name, but I didn't know him. And the more I get to know him, the more I trust him. He's never let me down. He's got me through every single situation, every threat valley. He's got me through it all. Even when I, you know, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, ooh, I will fear no evil, because I found out, I didn't know it at the time, he was with me. And he's always with me. And yet then we find it hard sometimes. Who do you want to pick today? Jesus or Barabbas? And sometimes people say, well, Jesus is too good. I don't want to be with the good guys. I want to hang out with the bad guys. I just don't get it sometimes. Look at me, if you would, in John chapter 8. Let me know when you're there. Look in verse 36 with me. John 8:36, great verse. It says this. If the Son, therefore, make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, I want you to take that verse and stick it in your pocket for a minute and think about it in a minute. But look what it says. It says, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Now, look in verse 38. It says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. And you do that which you have seen with your father. You see, Barabbas, son of his father. That's what Barabbas means. Son, bar means son of, Abbas means Abba, father. Son of your father. And I think about this, Jesus is the son of his father. And Barabbas is the son of his father. I wonder whose son you are. I wonder if you're more like Barabbas or you're more like Jesus. And I think about that all the time because I cannot look back at the scripture and figure out how they could hate Jesus so much. How they could not just want him gone, Tony, but they want him destroyed. They want him beaten to a pulp. They want him crucified and gone. You know what that is? That's the devil. That's pure 100% child of hell. Child of the devil. Look what it says. Keep on going. It says in verse 40, but now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, please everyone out loud say it, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. You are Barabbas. That's what Barabbas means, son of the father. And I just want you to think about this for a minute, that not only did they want to destroy him, but he also said in verse 20, what shall I do with Jesus? And you know what they said? They said, crucify him. You know, the greatest verse in the world might be right there. What shall you do with Jesus? Because it really is life or death, isn't it? Jesus is life or death for you. It's eternal in the everlasting, for everlasting, be with God or be in hell forever burning. It's really a decision, and it's totally up. What are you going to do with Jesus? And there's so many people, when you think about it, like kids today, if you really told them, which one do you want? You want to be your father, the devil? You don't tell them it's a devil, just say the father of the world, the prince of this world, the things of this world. Or do you want to be the son of God? And you know, they'd pick, Anton, they'd pick the world. I want what the world has. And it's so sad, isn't it? Because they don't realize that that's the son of their father. And that's why Jesus said, the works of your father you will do. And I want you to think about that exclusively, because the Bible gives, look in Ephesians chapter 2. The Bible gives us a little bit of heads up about ourselves, because two ladies in this church, very godly, filled with the Spirit women tonight, said, I love it how God's teaching me about myself. I love it how God teaches me about myself, Joe. Amen. You know what? Because I don't need to know more about you. I need to know more about me. Amen. You know, I can't control you, but I sure can't control me. I have enough trouble trying to control me. Amen. The Bible says, out of the multitude of words, there lacketh not sin. The more you talk, the more I'm going to say something wrong. I always ask God, help me not to say the wrong things. You know, because when you talk a lot, you're going to say something wrong. You're going to offend somebody. You know what happens if you offend somebody? Maybe nothing. You know what happens if I offend somebody? They may never get saved and go to hell. And that weight that's on me is very, it's serious to me. You know, and I think about it, I don't want to mess up. I'm so afraid to hurt someone's feelings. I'm afraid, you know what I mean? And yet I do. Because the way I am, I like to step, I shouldn't say like. I step on people's toes. I tell it like it is sometimes. I, you know, I've been a father since I was in high school. All right? It's like, sit up straight. Stop chewing gum. Get your elbows off the table. Pull your pants up, boy. Comb your hair. Brush your teeth. You know what I mean? It's like, that's who I've been my whole life. And then I became a boss. I was a roofer. Hanging with those guys, those knucklehead roofers, right, Joe? You gotta yell at them, knock it off, you know. And then you become a boss, and then I become a pastor. So cut me some slack when I'm a little bit, you know, because honestly, I'm holding back like you wouldn't believe. I'm holding back because I'm like, my wife would say almost every night, maybe not tonight. I think I did pretty good today. I got done early. Did you notice that? Thank you, Tone. What do you mean you couldn't believe it? What do you mean you couldn't believe it? It was a miracle. He got done early. The sun stood still. The Red Sea parted. What happened? Pastor Wilbs got done on time. I hear you, brother. I hear you. I'm praying all the time. God, help me. I want to get done on time. And I got done on time. But my wife will be the one. Maybe we're talking about wives, right, Tony? My wife will be the one, you know, I'm all wore out on Sunday night, preached all day, and gave it all I got, and you feel like you didn't do a good job, and you feel like, you know, you feel like a failure, and you wonder if anything helped anybody, and you're laying in bed, and then she'll say, you know, you shouldn't have said this, and you shouldn't have said that, and you're like, she just punches you when you're down, you know how it is? And I haven't heard in a long time, that was a good message, I haven't heard that in a long time, so thanks, Tone, for praising me, God. But it's like, you shouldn't have said this, and you should. So I pray all the time, God, help me not to say things. It's hard. So my point of that is, I have no idea what my point is for that. My point is this: is that all of us have to work on ourselves. I can't help you if I can't help myself, and you can't help anyone unless you help yourself. So get what you can out of these messages, and get what you can out of reading your Bible, and get what you can from the Holy Spirit of God, and get what you can from other people. Learn from their mistakes, not from your own. Amen? Let you see what drinking does, learn from it. You see what smoking does, learn from it. You see what cursing and cheating and gambling does, learn from it. Can I get an amen? But look what it says here in Ephesians chapter 2. We'll read down from verse 1 down to 6. And you, Anton, and you, Michael Wilps, and you, Tony Fregali. Is it Fregali? I said it right? Really? Yes. How do you say your last name?
Yeah.
No. Marion? Yeah, see, it's easy for you Italians to say it. Your Italian names are DiPietro?
DiPietro.
Because when I write that check, I don't know how to spell your last name, so I usually leave it blank. But Lucas says, and you, so put your name there, has he quickened who were dead? You were dead in trespasses and sins. Look what it says. Wherein in time past ye, that's you, walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So when Jesus said, you are of your father, you are the children of your father, you are the son of your father, that used to be us people. That was all of us. I don't quite understand it, but I know the Bible says that you, that's talking to the church members. This Bible's written to the church, not to the lost. It's written to the church. And he says, you who were dead in trespass sins, you who walked according to the prince of the power of the air. Look what it says in verse 3. Among whom also, look what it says, we all had our conversation in time past. We all walked with the devil, didn't we, Anton? Even Marcy, didn't you, Marcy? Marcy with her leather jacket on and riding her Harley. And she got her tattoo saying, I love mom on it and stuff. You know? And I'm telling you, we all were. I know there's so many people, and listen, like Cindy, she thinks she's Miss Goody Two Shoes, but her daughter told me otherwise. But like Linda and Steve, you know, Steve, he'll tell me, yeah, Pastor. Linda said, I got saved when I was 4, and I never smoked and I never drank and I'm like, praise God, I don't know what that's like. Because all I did was walk with the devil. I rode with the devil. I hung with the devil. I did everything the devil wanted me to do. Can someone else agree with me tonight? Amen. But guess what? So did the people that been saved their whole life. Because Christian girls and Christian boys, they're rebellious. Amen. They don't want to listen to mommy and daddy. They don't want to listen to pastor. They have bad thoughts. They have bad intentions in their heart, so we're all the same. And he says, among whom also we all, that means the apostle, all had a conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the what? The mind. That's what you're thinking. Just because you didn't do it doesn't mean God didn't hear it. You thought it, God heard it. It's because you think it in your heart. God sees it. God knows it all. And look what it says. And we're by nature, the children of the devil, the children of wrath, even as others. So when we think about Barabbas as murderer, thief, the son of his father, Jesus flips it around and says to the most religious people on earth, the Jews, you're of your father. And the works of your father you'll do. And then we're all sitting back there going, yeah, that's right. Barabbas, you no good, rotten guy. And then we go back to the scribes and the Pharisees. Like, that's right, you no good snakes and vermin. Yeah, you. And then Jesus says, oh, and by the way, you too. What? Yeah, you had your time with the devil. You walked according to the prince of the power of the air. You are the son of your father. Or you were, amen, the son of your father. And the works of your father you will do. And you have to ask yourself right now when you said to know yourself, right? Know yourself better. What works do you do? The works of the devil, a liar, or the works of God, true and honest? And you have to ask yourself because that's how you know yourself. That's why the Bible says examine your own self. Know your own self. See if you really be in the faith, lest you be reprobate. The word reprobate just means cast off. When Jesus, in Matthew 7, 21-23, he said, in that day, many, many of the church members are going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Wasn't I preaching on, didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we do many great, wonderful things in your name? And Jesus is going to say, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Because even though you claim the name of Jesus, even though you claim the name of a church, I'm a church member at, Jesus said, the works of your father you'll do. And that's why he said, by their fruits you'll know them. And that's why we all have to examine ourselves, because all of us are Barabbas. We're all Barabbas, and we're going to see that in a minute. Look what it says in verse 4. But God, thank you, Jesus, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Amen. Amen. Even Tony, when we were dead in sins, we were the children of devil. He said, has he quickened us together with Christ? For by grace are you saved. And he didn't stop there, Tony. And he has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What? He took me from being a child of Satan to being a child of the Son of God. That's why he said, you must be born again. Because your first birth, you're a child of the devil. I know so many people say, not me. Oh yeah, more you than me then. Because at least I know it and confess it. Like Kira over there, she might look sweet. That girl's plotting to rob banks and kill people every day. You think I'm kidding? Knuckles cracking. She walks around with scissors, says, go ahead, tempt me, go ahead. That girl, she might look sweet. You don't know what's going on inside of someone's mind, amen? All right, look in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. You with me? Look in verse 10. 1 John 3:10. Say amen when you're there. In this, the children of God are manifest. It means revealed. And the children of the devil. You got this? You got it? This is how you reveal the children of God and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. You know who hates? The devil. Because Jesus said, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer already. You better watch what happens in your heart. Because you might not want to, but you might be following the devil, not knowing, because he's a liar. He's a liar, a thief, a murderer, and a snake. And he's going to get you to follow him, and you won't even realize it. That's why I need a good smack in the face by the word of God. To, what? Look. And then I go, whoa. And I repent and turn from that and give my heart to God. Amen. And just repent and turn to the Lord. You know, I just want you to think about how we are all Barabbas. I want you to think about this and we'll finish. But think about this. You're Barabbas. You got one? You playing with me? Play the game? You're in Barabbas. You're in prison. You know you have a death sentence. You know you're a murderer, a thief, a robber. You even killed the Roman soldier. That's who you killed. So you know they hate you. Amen? You're in chains in a dark prison. You're going to be crucified, and you know you're going to be crucified. And you're sitting there, imagine what's going through in his mind. It's his last day on earth. And all of a sudden he's down in there, and he hears the doors of the prison slamming and locks opening. And chains moving. And he hears voices and soldiers coming. And he's like, oh no, this is it. This is my time. This is it. And they come, soldiers marching down with chains on them. And they came and they unlocked and says, come with us. And they're pulling him. And he's in chains. And they're carrying him. And they're leading him. And he's coming down. And they pass the gallows. And they starts walking up the steps. And he sees daylight. And he doesn't know what's going on. And he walks up and they bring him to the judgment seat where Pontius Pilate is. Where Jesus is. Up on a high platform overlooking the pavilion. And he's standing up there. Probably disgusting and dirty. Filthy. I don't know how long he's been in prison. No bath. No bathrooms. He must have been a filthy, hairy, horrible looking mess. And he gets up there and he looks at, and all the hundreds and hundreds of people are out there. And they're cheering his name. Barabbas! 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 He must have been like, what in the world's going on? And he looks over and he sees Jesus all beat up and bloody. And he doesn't know what's going on. All of a sudden, Pontius Pilate lifts up his chains in Jesus' hands and says, who do you want? Barabbas or Jesus? And they all said, Barabbas! Give us Barabbas! Kill him! Crucify him! He has no idea who Jesus is. And he goes over, and the next thing you know, the keys unlocks his chains. and his chains fall from the ground. And his chains are off his legs. And he's like, you can imagine, he's like, is this a trick? Like, what's going on here? And they probably said, you're free to go. Whom the Son makes free, you're free indeed, the Bible said. Barabbas was free because of Jesus. Jesus took everything that Barabbas was and he put it on himself. So Barabbas is let go. And I could just imagine he probably like, what's the catch? Like, yeah, you're going to throw a spear at me as soon as I start relieving, right? Like, so that way you're going to try to escape and kill me. And so he's like, they're probably saying, go, get out of here. And he's probably like, just wondering what's the catch. And finally comes down the steps and he sees all the people and they're all grabbing him. And he doesn't know what. All he knows is, I got to get out of here. And he runs, he bolts. He says, I'm getting as far away. And he's running, man, down the street. And everybody's going that way to see what's happening with Jesus. And he's running the opposite direction, not believing what has just happened. How could I be free? There's got to be a catch. There's got to be something. And he probably ran for a good while looking back. And after a while, realized no one's chasing me. No one's after me. He probably slowed down and stopped. Probably just sat there and wondering. And he saw the people and the crowds all going that way. I guarantee you, I bet you he probably put a little disguise on, put his hood on. Probably sat in the corner for a little bit thinking, what is going on? I bet you his curiosity got him, said, I got to go see what's happening. And he probably hid himself and went with the crowd. And that crowd just followed him all the way to Calvary. And as he got there and he saw the hill, saw the crosses, he said, I know that guy. He's a thief like me. I know that other guy. I remember him. He's a thief just like me. His name's Tom. I don't know who that guy in the middle is. But that's the guy that was next to me. That's the guy that they took my place. I'm supposed to be on that cross right now. Can you imagine how he must feel? Looking up and seeing Jesus. Suffering, dying, crucified. And knowing that's my cross. I don't know what happened to Barabbas. Nobody does. I can only imagine his life was never the same. I can only imagine the son of the devil probably fell on his knees, tears in his eyes, crying out, Father, forgive me. And then he heard Jesus, Father, forgive him, for he knows not what he does. He probably tears flowing down his face. He gave his heart to God. I guarantee he probably never the same again, that Barabbas. He was me, Joe. I was a son of the devil. And now because of the cross and because of Jesus taking my place, I'm a son of God. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of being good, or at least trying. I'm not ashamed of love. I'm not ashamed of being joy and singing. I'm not ashamed, embarrassed to get up and sing in front of somebody. I'm not embarrassed to get up and tell someone about Jesus. He wasn't embarrassed for me on that cross. Amen. I don't know about you, but I haven't had friends like him. And so I said this before, and I mean this. I have not, as far as I know, God's my witness, I have never stopped being someone's friend. They've always stopped being mine. I never rejected anybody. They've rejected me. I'm there for you, and I'll always be there because I'm loyal. I am. I've always been loyal. You know what? He's loyal. He's been loyal to you. He's been loyal to me when we don't deserve it. When everyone else would just reject you, turn their back on you, spit on you, he's the one with his open arms and wants to love you. Amen. I'll tell you right now, Barabbas, I don't know. Nobody knows. I read up on him and read up. Nobody knows what happened to him. People give stories about him like I just did, about what they think might have happened. But I'd like to think that's what happened. Because I know if it was me, I'd want to know what happened. And that's what I want you to think about and anyone to think about. What happened? What happened on that cross? Why was a just man, a good man, crucified on that cross? And then when you realize it was for me, it'll change your life. Let's pray. Father, We give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have given this world your own Son. And Lord, this world has hated him. They've rejected him. They crucified him. But Lord, you said he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them you gave power to become the sons of God. And Father, I thank you with all my heart that you died for me. I thank you that you paid my debt. I thank you that Jesus took my cross. And Lord, I believe in you. I trust in you. And I put all my faith in you. And I thank you for saving me, a child of the devil, and turning me into the Son of God. Father, you're so good. You're amazing what you do with people that are broken, people that are lost, people that are murderers and liars and thieves, and you turn them into sons and daughters of God. Only you could do that. Lord, I thank you for the church that is still going on, going strong. I thank you for the pulpits all around the world where pastors are not ashamed to speak the truth of Christ. I thank you for the people that come and support the local churches and give not only their money but their time and effort in getting the gospel out. Lord, there's nothing greater. I'm asking you now, we ask you as a united body in Christ, that you would use us to get the gospel message out, that we could turn some Barabbas into the Son of God. Lord, I just pray, help us to do that. Help us to love like you love. Help us to see others like you see them. Help us to care like you care. And I just pray, Lord God, work on me. Teach me more about me. And I'll be glad and sure to thank you for it all, because you're so good and kind. You're amazing. And what we know of you, Lord, is amazing, but I want to know you more. As Apostle Paul said, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, that I may be made conformable to his death. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. Thank you for this church and these people that are here tonight. Please bless them. Fill them with the Holy Ghost, I pray.